You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are in the church year season of Advent. The theme for Advent is coming. During this time of the church year, these are good things to keep in mind. With sorrow, let us remember our sins. With thankfulness, let us remember Jesus' first coming. And with anticipation, let us remember Jesus' second coming. Today's sermon is based on Matthew chapter 3. In the sermon, we're going to learn about John the Baptist, about his ministry, and about what John said regarding the first and second comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first section of the text, it tells us how John prepared the way. The Bible says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Keep in mind, Isaiah wrote about 700 years before the time of John. Isaiah was telling us that John would be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. What is a forerunner? First of all, thinking about the term in general, a forerunner was a person who prepared the way for a king. In other words, the king was going to go, let's say, from point A to point B. So the forerunner, he was to scout out the territory from A to B, and in the scouting out, if necessary, he was to build bridges, lower hills, fill in valleys, do whatever he needed to do in order to make it easy for the king to go from point A to point B. And then, thinking about John the Baptizer, John was sent to prepare the way for King Jesus. What did he do? He called the people to repent. In other words, he called them to be sorry for their sins. He called them to believe in the coming Messiah, and he called them to live according to God's holy word. Sometimes we might think that we can do such things, but the Bible teaches us that it is God who works through his word in order to make us sorry, give us faith, and give us the power to live according to his word. In the second part of today's sermon, we're focusing on John and how the people reacted to him when they came to hear him. The Bible says, "Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Think about John for a moment. His description is very rugged. He lived off the land. He didn't have the comforts or the pleasures of this world. Instead, he was focused on doing the will of God. Those are important things for us as well. And then regarding the Savior, think about him. Let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve. So they fell into sin, and then on that very same day, what did God do? God promised to send his Son to be their Savior. And then over the centuries, some people, they believed in what God had said, and they were looking for the Savior to come. When John began his ministry, word spread about him, and many people went out to see him because some of them even thought maybe he himself is the Christ. John wasn't, and he had to explain that, but yet when they came to see John, What did they do? They left the comforts of the city, they traveled into the wilderness, they heard John preach, and then with some of them, they were moved by God to be sorry for their sins, they confessed their sins, and they were baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. In the third part of the sermon, John is pointing to the fruit of repentance. So the Bible says, "But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance.'" In other words, don't just say you're repentant, show that you are repentant. "And then John said to them, 'And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit," in other words, the fruit of repentance, "is cut down and thrown into the fire." So he mentioned about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What can we say about them? The Pharisees, they prided themselves on their outward keeping of the law. Not inward, but outward. So they would appear to do what was right, but yet their hearts were not right with God. What about the Sadducees? They were people who accepted the first five books of the Bible, but they're missing out on so much more that's in the Bible beyond the first five books. Regarding both of those groups, John, he lumped them together and he called both of them a brood of vipers. In other words, he called them children of poisonous snakes. Think about what was going on there. John, he's there at the Jordan River, he's baptizing. Maybe you can even picture people in a line and they're waiting to talk to John to confess their sins and be baptized. Anyone who stepped into the line, they were stating in an outward way, "I am repentant." However, when those men got up to John, John didn't believe they were repentant, so he said to them, "Prove it." He said to them, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." And then, maybe anticipating the answer they might give, John basically said that it doesn't matter if you're descendants of Abraham. That cannot save you. Even today, how could we apply that? Well, people are members of Christian churches, but sometimes they're members of churches, and yet they do not know, they do not trust in Jesus Christ, so being a church member does not help them. Instead, it is necessary for us to have sorrow for sin, trust in Jesus, and then from that trust comes what? Comes the fruit of our repentance, the fruit of our faith. In the fourth part of the sermon, John talked about the first coming of Jesus. He said, "I will baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So regarding John, think about it. John baptized with water for the forgiveness of sins, and he pointed the people to Jesus who was to come and who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When did Jesus do that? Do you recall? Well, we have to go to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Let's make the comparison like this. John, he poured water. Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, he poured the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit was poured, he appeared as tongues of fire on the heads of those who trusted in Jesus. What about us? When we were baptized, the Holy Spirit was at work to clothe us in Christ and to take residence within us. In the fifth and final part today, we see John make a statement now about the second coming of Jesus. He said, His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Think about a threshing floor. That's a place where the wheat was separated from the chaff. The wheat is good. The wheat represents the believers. And when Jesus comes, he will bring them with him into heaven. But the chaff is useless. The chaff is no good. The chaff represents the unbelievers, and the chaff will be burned up. Dr. Kretzmann, in his commentary, gave a good explanation regarding what John said here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "God's great threshing floor is the earth. The test by which he decides the fate of every person in the world is the relation toward Jesus and his salvation. Those that are found secure in his redemption through faith are gathered safely into heaven. But those that are found too light," in other words, like chaff, which is very light, "those that are found too light on account of their reliance upon their own self-righteousness will find themselves subjected to the inextinguishable fire of hell." God wants us to know there is no middle ground. Either we know Jesus Christ and we are blessed forever, or we have rejected Jesus Christ and we are in trouble forever. God wants us to know the way has been made. In Jesus Christ, we have God's forgiveness. We have the gift of eternal life, and heaven is open for us. Let us rejoice in what God has done, and let us pray for those who don't yet know Jesus Christ, that God might enable them to know him too. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your saving work and pray that the Holy Spirit would keep us trusting in you until you finally bring us into the joy-filled eternity. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule: Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.